1 Corinthians chapter 15. It never fails. There's always a Sunday when the printer never wants to print. And I had to do a lot of finagling just to get my sermon to print. So there's no bulletin this morning because I couldn't get that to print. But I was able to get Sunday school printed. I'm going to give you two, one for your mom. Hopefully everyone's got a pen. So 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm having to do all my stuff off of the computer. We're going to do a series on faith. It's entitled For the Faith. We just got done going through, obviously, the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation told us how things will be in the last days leading up to the rapture and then after the rapture. Again, we're living in the Laodicean age. It's the age of the great falling away, people falling away from the truth, right? Not falling from salvation, but a lot of people that aren't grounded in truth, they're not grounded in God's word, their life isn't built upon the promises of God's word, their focus is not God, they're easily led astray. The Bible talks about having itching ears, just wanting to hear something new. And one of the first times that my pastor allowed me to preach at my home church back in Wisconsin before I went into the ministry, I had a man come up to me after the service and say, "Can't you preach anything new?" And I was thinking, wow. But the guy was, he wasn't a member of the church. He had his own ideas and stuff, and he was actually secretly behind the pastor's back taking people out to lunch and trying to, you know, indoctrinate them with false teachings and, you know, lead them astray. And the pastor got wind of it, and with the pastor and the deacons, booted the guy out of the church, could never come back because he's a sheep in wolf's clothing trying to, you know, scatter the flock, trying to, you know, sow discord among the brethren. But the Bible talks about that in the last days, people want to hear something new. People don't want to be convicted of sin. You know, they just want to hear everything's okay and you can just, you know, drink and do everything that you want to do and just ask God to, you know, forgive you. But we really have to come back to the basis of our faith. What is our faith based upon? Because if we'll just keep that as a focus in our Christian walk with the Lord, we're going to stand strong upon God's word, upon the faith. And that term faith is really used loosely. Someone says, you know, well, I have faith. Well, what does that mean? To some people, as long as God blesses them, they have faith, okay, in God. When I say, you know, what is your faith in? I'm asking, well, what are you trusting in for salvation? I mean, it's just, the word faith is used in a lot of different ways, but again, I want to really talk about the significance of our faith based on 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, all right? So if you're there, it's even at the top of the outline I've given you, all right? So 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." All right, the gospel. Now, Paul's Paul is writing to the believers at Corinth, and he tells them, again, it's another term, it's another word that means a lot of different things, gospel, all right? What does gospel mean? Well, it depends on the context. Because if like Paul, he's saying, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Well, we would know that Paul's talking about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all right? Which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, all right? In order to be saved, someone has to believe in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he died for their sins, he was buried and rose again to prove that he's God, and plus he took the keys of death and hell, so he didn't just pay for our sins, but he got victory over death, and therefore we know we have victory over death because our faith is in Jesus Christ. And he says, wherein ye stand, standing in the truth of the gospel of salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In verse 2, he says, by which also ye are saved, saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, resurrection, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. Listen, he says, unless ye have believed in vain. Meaning someone has heard the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Oh yeah, I'll trust that for salvation. But they didn't really receive it in their heart. Because a lot of people will profess Jesus Christ, but they won't possess Jesus Christ. There's been people who have said prayers. They've been led in what we call a sinner's prayer or salvation prayer. Repeat after me, and the person saying the prayer, but it doesn't mean anything. I have that testimony. My wife has that testimony. Both of us as kids were led in a prayer by a pastor, but we didn't understand that we were sinners in need of a Savior. For me, I was just asked, do you want to go to heaven? Yeah, well, repeat after me. Okay, I repeated after the pastor, but I wasn't under conviction of sin. I didn't understand why Jesus died. It was a little kid, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Okay, so there are those, and that's why he says, unless you believed in vain, you just said a prayer, or you just agreed with me because I was there, but you really didn't believe it. Okay, verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, meaning Paul had received Christ as his Savior, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So our faith in Jesus Christ is based off the truth of God's Word, right? But we're not following some, cunning fable that man has, passed down from generation to generation. God prophesied of the Son of God coming and dying on the cross for the sins of the world. There's eyewitnesses, there's accounts of Jesus Christ doing just that, right? His virgin birth and all of that, all right? So it's, again, that's why Paul brings up to this church based on the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures, not according to what Paul thinks, not according to what someone else says, because, again, false religions are based upon man's opinion. There are so many false religions in the world. Some of them, okay, because I know a little bit about the Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ, the Mormons. Their religion is based off of Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, based off of his testimony of seeing an angel talking to him, showing him these golden tablets, and his religion of Mormonism is based off of that. Now, if you read the history or the life history of Joseph Smith, he was a rebellious man who would not come under the authority of true Scripture. He refuted and argued with every religion, including Baptist pastors, and he set off to set up his own religion based off of what he wanted. And one of the main things of Mormonism is polygamy, having more than one wife. That is what he wanted, okay? So his religion was based off of his sinful fleshly desires of having more women, okay? But putting it under the guise of religion. Now, what does the Bible talk about? Paul says that if we receive another gospel, even from an angel, we're not to receive it, okay? And that's the whole Mormon religion is based off Joseph Smith getting all of this from an angel, which obviously would be Satan, would be, you know, satanic in itself because the entire religion goes against Jesus Christ, goes against God, goes against his word. So it's important that Paul says, according to the scriptures, all right, according to the truth of God's word, all right. We know that our faith is based upon the truth of God's word, all right. So let's see here. Have you ever been challenged over your belief or over your faith? Faith being, again, using that word faith, has anyone ever challenged your faith, what you believe in? You probably have had someone question your beliefs, question your faith. Why do you do this? Why don't you do that? All right. Paul was questioned all the time. All right. Now, have you ever been setting in some type of, now he uses illustrations, a university classroom or corporate office, lunchroom or carpool, anywhere where someone has questioned your faith in God? Have you ever been asked the question, what do you believe? I've asked people that question before. What do you believe? Because there's a guy at work. We had a long discussion one day about religion, about what I believed. And I asked him, well, what do you believe? He says, well, I don't believe like you. And he gave me some things he believed in. Everybody believes in something. Some people say they don't believe in organized religion. I've heard someone tell me that before. Well, you know, I don't believe in organized religion. Well, I don't either in the sense of I'm not following religion, I'm following Jesus Christ, but there needs to be an organized church doing things decently in order because, you know, you gotta, if it was just a free for all right? There are churches where there is no leader. Everybody just, all the men of the church, in fact, there was one in the last town that I pastored in Wisconsin, I think it was called the Church of Christ. And there was no pastor, there was no, you know, under shepherd. It was just, you know, people got together. It's more or less of a man's club because a friend of mine had, who was the pastor of this church before I was, he went to one of their meetings because he was curious, like, what do you guys do? And he said, you know, he sat in there and just, you know, any man that had something they wanted to say, just stand up and say it. Didn't have to be Bible or anything. And it's like, Scripture gives us that there's to be an order in the church, not a free-for-all, because that was the problem with the Corinthian church. They were just doing everything that they thought. That's why Paul kind of rebuked them for coming together and getting drunk and just, you know, having a big old feast with the Lord's table. All right, so again, everybody's got their opinion in regards to faith and religion, but what does the Bible say? Our faith has to be based upon God's word, and we have to stand upon the truth and promises of God's word. All right, now, have you ever been asked, why do you believe what you believe? If someone were to ask you, why do you believe what you believe? Could you biblically give them an answer? And we need to be able to biblically give somebody an answer, not just say, well, I just know that God's real. You know, we can give answers, but some people want proof, right? Someone that's seeking the truth, they need to see truth, all right? They need to see, you know, why you believe what you believe. Now, in a post-Christian society, when we encounter a growing variety of faiths in the workplace, the neighborhood, even in our families, it has become increasingly important to know why we believe what we believe, all right? Because what if someone comes and, you know, what if you have a family member, someone you really love, they grew up going to church, and one day they tell you, I don't believe in God anymore. I don't believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. how would you talk to that person? We couldn't just let it go. We would have to, well, how did you come to that conclusion of now believing that there is no God and that, you know, Jesus Christ is not the way of salvation, that, you know, once you die, that's it? Because it's not that anybody wakes up one morning and goes, you know what, I just don't believe in God. No, something has happened. They've either been reading literature, they've been talking to someone who has corrupted their thinking. Evil communications corrupt good manners. All right? Your faith will always be attacked as long as you're alive in some way. Your faith will be attacked. Now, God has always considered it important to know the why of what we believe. Now, Peter challenged the first century Christians when he said this in 1 Peter chapter 3, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you." Again, in some way, someone's going to ask about your faith. Why do you believe you the way you believe? Why is it, you know, I can see you go through hard times, I never see you unpeaceful. I never see you full of anxiety like I am, someone may say. All right? Because again, do we understand that salvation is more than just I get to go to heaven? It is a life experience. It's a life relationship with the Lord. It's not just going to church. And a lot of people have that idea that going to church, well, if I go to church, I'm good. What else do I need? If I'm faithful to church, then God should let me into heaven. Again, there's a lot of false teachings and a lot of false thinking in this world. Oh, let's see. I want you to think about this. Number one, the introduction there in your outline. Number one, the introduction to our faith. And again, we're starting at the basis, the baseline of our faith. You know that salvation comes through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is believing on the blood of Jesus Christ that has paid our sin debt, all right? So the introduction of our faith, again, verses 1 and 2 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." All right? How was the faith introduced to these believers at Corinth? When Paul wrote, he reminded his hearers, those that would be listening to this letter being read to the church, that while the faith of the gospel may have been just a few decades old, it had already been established and proven, a proven track record. Our faith is not new. Paul was not sharing new truths with the Corinthian believers. Remember this. I even said this when we were going through the book of Revelation. All right. Again, when I say, you know, when you look at the Gospels, what are the Gospels in the Bible? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, okay? And where are those four books located in your Bible? I'm sorry, where? In the New Testament, right? They're the beginning of the New Testament. But do you remember where the events before the cross of Calvary, think about Jesus' birth and everything that Jesus, his ministry and everything, all right, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're located at the beginning of the New Testament, but the majority of those Gospels, those books, are Old Testament. Because the Bible tells us there's not a New Testament until the testator dies. Jesus dies on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus dies on the cross of Calvary, that begins the New Testament. So leading up to the Jesus' crucifixion, it's all Old Testament. And what I mean by Old Testament, it's the Old Testament era. Jesus is in his ministry. Remember when he told, when he even made the statement, you know, if your right hand offends thee, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into heaven maimed than into hell, right? Pluck out your right eye and all of that. That's Old Testament. The things that Jesus was telling his disciples and everyone listening was all Old Testament, okay? That's important. Now, we still listen to the teachings of Jesus, all right? Still listen to the teachings of Jesus, but I just want you to get in your mind that the New Testament that we're under as born-again believers starts at the death of Jesus Christ, at the crucifixion. That's when the New Testament really starts, because you can't have a New Testament without the testator dying first, okay? I say that because we have a complete Bible, right? We have the canon of Scripture. What did Paul have when he was going around preaching Jesus Christ? Did Paul have all his letters? Did he have John's letters? 1 John, 2 John. Did he have Peter's letters? And he's going around, okay, here's the New Testament. No, he had Old Testament Scripture. He had the prophets. He had the law. Therefore, he was able to preach Jesus Christ and salvation based off the Old Testament. Now, when he writes letters, obviously we're a New Testament church, so Paul, remember, Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. We're Gentiles. We're not Jews, okay? So all of Paul's teachings are to us. But when he was going around to Corinth, to Lystra, to Derbe, to, you know, Philippi, to Galatia, to Colossae, all these different cities that we get to read in Scripture, he's preaching from the Old Testament. But he's preaching salvation and people are getting saved, okay? So I say all of that just to remind us that Paul was preaching faith powerfully. Our faith, letter A, our faith has been preached powerfully, all right? Again, when I say our faith, what's our faith in? The gospel, what's the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our faith has been preached powerfully. Now, first of all, Paul says that this is the faith which I preached unto you. All right, the preaching of God's word has always played a vital role in the lives of believers. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When it comes to being strong in the doctrines of the faith, what our faith is built upon and stand upon, nothing can replace sound preaching. All right? No one got saved without hearing God's word. Whether you're reading God's word, again, if you're reading it, you're hearing it, okay? But no one can be sitting on their deck on a beautiful day like today, having a, I'd say much warmer than today, but sitting on their deck, this is a testimony I had someone give me years ago. They were sitting on their deck, beautiful summer day, just a breeze blowing, and they just felt the Holy Spirit just come into them, and they just knew they were saved from that moment on. And I looked at them and said, that's not salvation. Because salvation comes from hearing the truth about what Jesus did, why he had to do it, because you're a sinner in need of a Savior, because your sins have destined you to hell, and you need to believe on the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the remission of your sin. No, I'm saved because God's already testified with me. I'm saved because the Holy Spirit. Again, people believe what they want to believe. But nobody gets saved without the word of God, without believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, without believing in his shed blood, right? Again, the Bible is very clear, okay? For preaching is likened to the very power of God, all right? The text of Luke chapter 11, verse 32 shows this. Quote, the men of Nineveh, and this was Jesus speaking, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, or Jonah. Now, when Jonah went to Nineveh, obviously after being swallowed by the whale, 3 days, 3 nights, he finally prayed to God, and God commanded the whale to spit him up, and, you know, God says, okay, now go to Nineveh. He goes, and his message wasn't a message of salvation. Jonah's message, when you read in the book of Jonah, it was a message of judgment, condemnation, and God's wrath is about to be poured out. And from the king of Nineveh all the way down to the poorest person in Nineveh, they all repented, and God turned away his wrath. He showed them grace and mercy, because at the hearing of God's message that Jonah proclaimed, because God told Jonah, you tell them what I'm going to tell you. So it wasn't Jonah's idea. Jonah didn't come up with, this outline of a message. God told Jonah what to tell the Ninevites. Jonah preached the message. It convicted the hearts of the people. And by God's word, they turned from their sin. All right? It's the same. It's God's message. And God's message is what our faith is based upon: Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Letter B, if you would, our faith has been received personally. All right, our faith has been preached powerfully, letter A, but letter B, our faith has been received personally. Just because somebody hears the gospel, hears about their sin, and hears that they need to trust in Jesus Christ, just because they hear it doesn't mean they have received it. Doesn't mean they believe it. I've had many people sit under the preaching of God's word, whether under my preaching, whether under my pastor's preaching. Back when I was a deacon, back when I was a Sunday school teacher, and I talked to people, many people have sat under the preaching of the truth of God's word. They heard it, but they never received it in their heart. Therefore, they never asked Christ to save them. One person, when I got here, him and his wife were here for a while, and then she stopped coming, and he stayed for a while, but his house is full of Catholic relics and statues and stuff and paintings that he prays to. The only reason he said he comes to a Baptist church was because when he was a boy, I forget if it was his father or his grandfather, they went to hear a Baptist preacher and they liked it, so they were going there. I mean, he sat here under the preaching of God's word, never would get saved. He said out of his own mouth, I'm trusting Mary to get me into heaven. Even showing him scripture. No. So even though people hear it, doesn't mean that they're receiving it, doesn't mean that they're trusting it, doesn't mean that they're saved, all right? But you know if you're saved or not. You know if you're trusting Jesus Christ. It's not, well, I hope I'm trusting Jesus. No, you know if you are. You know there's been a change on the inside, okay? And that change is manifested on the outside, all right? But our faith has been received personally. Our faith is only effective as it is received. We may understand the faith, you know, again, hearing it, understanding what, you know, the pastor or the Bible teacher is saying. Okay, I understand, you know, I'm a sinner. Jesus died for my sins, all of that, okay? But if we have, we may understand the faith, but have we received it? If we have received it in salvation, again, putting our faith in Jesus Christ, are we receiving it in our daily life by walking according to the teaching of God's word? Again, our life doesn't stop at the moment of salvation. The moment someone receives the gift of salvation, it's not, okay, my life's done, there's nothing else I have to do. No, there's an ongoing progress and ongoing work in that believer's life that God wants to do, and he's the one that starts it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, this might be in your notes. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Again, like I was saying, someone can hear a message on salvation. They can hear exactly how you are to be saved, why you're supposed to be saved, who saves you, what you have to do to receive the gift of salvation, and them have no faith in them to actually receive what they're hearing and do anything about it. I know I've said this before, but on the day the last trump sounds, the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ are raised, those which are alive and remain are caught up in the air, the day that all believers are raptured and we meet the Lord in the air, there's going to be a lot of people left in churches. There's going to be a lot of people left in churches and I hope it is. I hope we are caught up in the clouds on a Sunday. We're in the Lord's house. We're singing. We're hearing God's word. I'd rather be here, but he may have us at work. He may have us, among lost family members so that when it happens, they were right, and they cry out to the Lord. They'll just cry out to the Lord. But whatever it is, again, a lot of people are just, I've gone to church my whole life. I read my Bible every day. There's four generations of pastors in our family, and people are trusting in things other than Jesus Christ. So it's very important, even if I can even say this, I know we're talking about salvation, but even when we sit and we hear a message being preached, why does any pastor who has a heart, I have to say this, who has a heart to teach people God's word, because not all pastors have a heart to teach people's God's word, they're just doing it for whatever selfish reason. But every pastor who has a heart to teach and preach God's word so God's people will be benefited, when he stands up to preach, whatever the message is, his prayer is the people receive it as it is in truth, God's word. Paul says that in one of his letters. I forget which church it was to, but he said, you received it as it is in truth, God's word, not man's word. Sometimes people will tune out the preacher or the evangelist, whoever's preaching, they'll tune them out. Well, that's just his opinion. Now, there's times where, I'll give, an illustration, some example. But if it's God's word, then that's not man's opinion. That's God's word. I, as the pastor, I'm giving God's message to God's people. And hopefully, God's people are taking it by faith and they're doing something with that message. Hopefully, Lord, what is it you want me to get out of this message? How does this message apply to me? And the Holy Spirit will help us to see where it applies to us. Again, this is the basis of our faith, right? Our faith is based upon salvation in Jesus Christ. And Paul says again, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So we have to hear God's word by faith. Even reading on your own private devotions, you and I, we have to believe by faith that what we're reading in Scripture is God's word, and it's profitable for me today, and it's going to help strengthen my faith. It's going to help me to have answers to anyone who questions my faith and asks me why you believe what you believe. All right? Please never say, well, my pastor said so, or my Sunday school teacher said so, right? If someone questions your faith, don't say, well, you know, our pastor teaches. No, no, no. Because then that means your faith is based on what I say instead of what God says in his word. And I've known people, you know, to say that out of innocence. Well, our pastor, you know, preaches that. Okay, yeah, he does, but why do you believe it? I believe it because God says it, right? Letter C, our faith has been verified previously. Our faith has been verified previously. Right? A look at the history of God's work among mankind will reveal that our faith, which is the doctrine of the Bible, God's word, is worthy of our trust. All right? Example, hospitals have been built, missionaries have been sent, prosperous civilizations have been shaped, and even entire nations, like America, have been established with the faith of Bible Christianity at their core. Hebrews 11, verse 32, and what shall I more say, Paul says, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. What stopped the mouths of the lions when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den? Why didn't the lions eat Daniel up? Does anybody remember? Or does anybody know why? Why didn't the lions? Because remember, when Daniel was pulled up out of the pit, King Darius took those wicked men who had tricked him into signing that law, he threw them, their wives, and their children in the lion's den. And the Bible says before they even hit the ground, the lions had the mastery over them. They were already attacking them and eating them. But when Daniel was put in, so it's not that, you know, the lions weren't hungry. Remember, Daniel said God had sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions? And why do you think God sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions? Because of Daniel's faith. Because of Daniel's faith in his God, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and these all having obtained a good report through faith. Now, when you read the Old Testament, these men, the people of the Old Testament, their faith was in God and God's ability. Their faith was in their relationship with Jehovah, with their God. So even though others were you know, living in sin and not, you know, think about Joshua. When Moses is on Mount Sinai for 40 days, the first 40 days he go up to Mount Sinai, and while he's there, the Bible records that the people at the bottom of the mountain with Aaron make a golden calf. They have a great party. They're dancing. They're feasting. They're worshiping the golden calf. But where's Joshua? The Bible records Joshua is there waiting for Moses to come down. Joshua had chosen, he wanted to be as close to God as he could, and as close as he could get was with Moses. He couldn't go up to the mount with Moses, but he got as close as he could, and he waited. So when Moses comes down, Joshua is thinking, he's hearing all this noise in the camp. He says, there's war, and Moses says, no, that's not war. Because the people were sinning against God. I'm saying Joshua had already purposed in his heart, he wanted God. His faith was in God. He had seen God do great things in Egypt, and he wanted to keep following God. So The faith of the Old Testament was in God. Our faith is in Jesus Christ and what he has done, what he can do in our life, and what he will do. So again, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness we're made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens, and these all having obtained a good report through faith. It's important we have a good report through faith. Again, when we say faith, yes, we're talking about what's your faith in? My faith is in the bloodshed of Jesus Christ for my sins. I know I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior, but my faith is also the Word of God. It's what I build my life upon, the teachings of God's Word. It's what is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path is God's Word. Faith. I have faith in God's faithfulness to me, right? It is God that even today allowed me to be alive, allows me to have a day where I can walk with him, I can hear his voice, and I even can choose whether or not I'm going to receive the message he has for me today and even seek him on how does the message, how does the Bible teaching, how does it affect me, how does it apply to me, how can it strengthen my faith. So when someone questions me on why I believe what I believe, I can give them an answer. Because you realize when somebody is asking you personally what you believe, one thing I struggled with in my early years was, what if I even went and talked to my pastor? Like, what if someone asked me a question I don't know? Like, you know, did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? I don't know. Right, but the devil can get us so, you know, worked up that, you know, you're not going to have the answer for every question. You don't have to. If someone asks you a question, a silly question, I bring that up because some people do. Some people, what came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken, of course, right? But people want to trip up people who believe in the Bible by asking silly questions, all right? And the devil wants us to keep our mouth closed because he wants us to think, well, you don't know the answer to give somebody. Well, I don't have to make up an answer. If I know the answer, I'll give them an answer. But even if someone asks you a question that you don't know, a Bible question, do what Jesus did. Do what Jesus did, because Jesus was asked a question one time, and I'm trying to think how they asked him. I forget what the question was, but Jesus, instead of answering the question, he asked them a question. He said, well, let me ask you a question. The baptism of John, was it from God or was it from men? And the Pharisees, it says the Pharisees questioned among themselves, well, if we say it was of God, he'll say, well, why didn't you believe it? And if we say it was of men, we fear the people that they will stone us. So they went back to Jesus, said, we can't tell. So they wouldn't give an answer to Jesus' question. Jesus says, well, I don't answer you either. I'm not going to answer your question. So I say that if someone asks you a question about your faith and you're not quite sure, ask them a question. Well, let me ask you. Do you believe in life after death? I mean, you can always ask a question when someone asks you a question. But we do need to know what our faith stands upon. You do need to know how to explain salvation to somebody. Because I'm not the one that saves anybody, Jesus is, but I should be able to explain it to somebody. And that's really the preface, that's really the beginning of this lesson about for the faith as we go through this series. Starting at the baseline of our faith, but then building on that and even how to help somebody else see their need in it. Because how will anybody ask us about the hope that lies within us unless they see it in our life. Whether they see you praying, whether they see something, there's something different about you, right? And they know that you have something that they need, and sometimes they're not quite sure how to ask, so they may just ask, you know, a silly Bible question, all right? To try to sound spiritual when they're really not spiritual, but they're trying in their way to, you know, get in a conversation, all right? So again, we're living in these last days where it is important that we stand strong upon our faith in salvation, our faith in God's word, our faith in God's faithfulness, right? Our faith in our relationship with the Lord. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you this morning for your goodness, and thank you, Father, for the truth of your word. Just ask that you would guide us through the study of the faith. Lord, just ask that you would bless this next hour, drawing our hearts and our minds unto you, but helping us, Lord, to apply the scriptures to our lives, obviously with the help of the Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have about 5 minutes.